Hey, you're listening to the Casper Faith Podcast, where you can catch up on and re-listen to encouraging messages shared by the staff here at the church. Thank you so much for joining us. We hope these words inspire you, challenge you, and expose you to God's love in a meaningful way. Enjoy the message.
There's a book called Conspiracy of Kindness, and Pastor Steve Shogren tells a story about how once there was a little boy and a father. They were in their backyard playing catch with the baseball. And the little boy said, "Daddy, is there a God?" And the dad really didn't know what to say. He'd only been to a church a couple times in his life, had no religious upbringing. He says, "Son, I really don't know." So the little boy runs inside the house, and a few minutes later, he comes out with a balloon, a helium balloon that he had received at the circus, and there was a note attached to it, and it said, "Dear God, if you're real, please send people to Dad and I to tell us about you." And he released the balloon in the air, and as it did, the dad was saying, "God, if you're real, I pray you answer that prayer." A few days later, they're driving down the road, and they see a sign for a free car wash. They pull in, and the dad asks the person who's there, and had to be Pastor Steve. He asked Pastor Steve, "How much does it cost?" And Pastor Steve said, "It's free." He says, "No, really, what does it cost?" He says, "It's free. Just like God's love. It's to show you God's love in a practical way." And the dad said to Pastor Steve, he says, "Wait a second. Are you a Christian?" And Pastor Steve said, "Yes." He says, "Are you the kind of Christian that believes in God?" Pastor Steve says, "Yes, I'm the kind of Christian that believes in God." You know, there are some Christians that live that maybe don't act like they believe in God, but that's a whole nother topic. But anyway, he says yes, and so this dad relates the story about the helium balloon prayer, and Pastor Steve just kind of chuckled at the dad, says, "That might be the most unusual answer to prayer God's ever received," okay? I believe that there are people all around us that are like that father and that little boy who really want to know God, but they don't know where to go. They don't know who to ask. They don't know how to find out about God and if God is real and who God is. And we, you and I, the body of Jesus, the church that has been left here on planet Earth, have the opportunity to make God, to make Jesus known to them. And this morning, as we continue our series entitled Radius, we're going to talk about today how to extend our radius. How do we make our radius more effective? How do we impact more people? And we're going to be looking at the story in John chapter 4. You can turn there if you want. It's the story of the woman at the well. And this lady is a lot like the father and the little boy, who she was searching for God. She knew that something was missing from her life, but she was searching, looking for the real God. And so we're going to talk about that today. And as we do, this is just continuing to build upon our theme for 2021. How many of you know what our theme is? I hope so. If you're online, you're watching online, and you know the theme, go ahead and type it there in the comment section. But in your notes, and if you're following along, whether you picked up the worship program when you came in, or if you're looking at the YouVersion Bible app, we have our sermon notes and scriptures on YouVersion. If you're taking notes this morning, filling in the blank, our 2021 theme is Influence Your Radius. Influence your radius. When we say radius, and our name is Radius Church, realize that radius is not just a name for us. Radius is our identity. It's our identity of who we are as Christians. It's who we are as followers of Jesus. We looked at week one of Radius, how we need to have our relationship with God squared away, because if that is out of whack, we cannot effectively influence the people in our radius for Christ. And so that means we need to center every point of our life on Jesus. That means we love Jesus more than anyone or anything. It means we obey Jesus. Our lives line up with Him and His Word. It means that Jesus is first when it comes to the lordship and the priorities of our life, that he's calling the shots. So we need our lives to be centered on Christ, and that is our relationship with God. The second week, we talked about our relationship with people, how we need to influence people, and the best way we do that is by love. We looked at the story of the Good Samaritan. The Good Samaritan, he loved his neighbor. Who's your neighbor? Anyone you come in contact with. It's not just people you like. It's not just people you know. But in the story of the Good Samaritan, he encountered a complete stranger and he loved him. And Jesus said, that is who your neighbor is. We are to love all people. All people matter to God. And that means love does something. We need to be active. We can't be passive. Love treats people the way we want to be treated. And love serves, love meets needs. This morning, we're going to look at how do we extend our radius and make it more effective. And point number one, if you're taking notes today, is if we're going to extend our radius and be more effective in influencing people for Christ, we need to go outside of our comfort zone. And everybody said, oh boy. How many like to go outside of your comfort zone? Going out of your comfort zone means you do something that is uncomfortable. It's doing something that's not natural, something that's not easy. It's out of your comfort zone. And we see that's what Jesus did, because Jesus went to Samaria. And last time, as we talked about the parable of the Good Samaritan, we learned how the Jews and the Samaritans hated each other. It was like saying Raiders fan and Broncos fan gets together, okay? Or Red Sox and Yankees. It's that kind of thing. They did not like each other. And so we are going to see in this story today, Jesus goes to Samaria, and it's not just an accident, all right? Take a look in verse 4, chapter 4. It says, but he needed to go through Samaria. This was a deliberate, intentional act. It's not like it was about lunchtime and that they got hungry and it's like, well, Samaria's the nearest place by that has a restaurant, so we're going to go get some quarter pounders and Big Macs and we're going to come back and feed Jesus. No, Jesus needed to go through Samaria. This was intentional. He intentionally went to a place where he knew the people would hate him. He intentionally went to a place where he would be an outsider, where he wouldn't be accepted, and Jesus got out of his comfort zone. Even though he came to minister to the Jews and to share the kingdom to the Jews so that they could be kind of the grounding point and take the gospel everywhere, Jesus got out of his comfort zone and he went to the very people that hated him. He went to the outsiders because all people matter to God. And we have to be intentional. We have to go to those who are outsiders, to those who maybe don't like us, that don't like Christians, people that don't want to talk about God. We need to be salt and light to the entire world. Jesus said, go and be witnesses in your Jerusalem, your Judea. That's the close areas, the people that you know, the things you're familiar with. But then he said, to your Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the world, we are to love our neighbor, to be witnesses, to share the gospel everywhere, at every time, with everyone. We need to get out of our comfort zones. Evangelism is uncomfortable. How many of you have ever been uncomfortable evangelizing, witnessing, sharing? Raise your hand, all right? If you're watching online this morning, just type in and say, yes, you bet, something like that. Acknowledge if it's been uncomfortable. You know, someone asks you a question about God, about the Bible. How do I know Christianity is true? Or the Holy Spirit nudges you to pray for someone who is sick. Or God opens a door for you to share your testimony, to share the gospel, to share how maybe God has moved in your life. And what happens? You get this lump in your throat the size of a tennis ball, okay? And your stomach starts doing loop-de-loops like a fighter jet in a Tom Cruise movie, all right? And you begin to shake a little bit. You know, kind of, is there an earthquake? You know, you shake. You just have this nervousness that comes over your body. You know, your antiperspirant begins to get overtime pay, and your heart races so fast. You feel like saying, "Oh, Lamont, it's the big one." You know, how many have ever encountered that kind of nervousness in evangelism? There's an opportunity, and it's just, oh man, I don't want to do this. There's some fear involved. Evangelism is uncomfortable. Steve Shogren says, for most Christians, doing evangelism is a lot like going to the dentist. No one really enjoys doing it, but it has to be done every once in a while. There's times I have felt like that. There's times you have felt like that. God, though, says we need to get out of our comfort zones and influence our radius. And because evangelism is uncomfortable, it's easy for us not to do it, especially when we don't see results. And so many times when you share with someone, they don't just say, oh man, you're right, I need to give my life to Jesus, and they get down on their knees and they repent right there, okay? That generally doesn't happen in evangelism, and because we don't see results, we think, well man, I've shared and it didn't do any good. I've done my part and nothing's happened. I guess I really don't have to do this anymore. But Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 6 tells us, keep on sowing your seed, for you never know which will grow, perhaps it all will. What we need to realize is that evangelism is a process, not an event. All right, that's not in your notes, but I want you to write it down this morning. If you're taking notes, evangelism is a process. It's not an event. It's not a one-time shot. Most American Christians, they view evangelism as that it's a one-time shot. I've got only one opportunity to share the gospel, so I'm going to load my spiritual shotgun up with double scriptures, and I'm just going to blast them with the, and boom, it's done, and hopefully they get it. But evangelism is not a one-time event. It is a process. Studies show that the average person requires 5 significant encounters with the gospel before accepting Jesus as their Savior. And a significant encounter is one where a person actually hears the message of God's love in such a way that it registers in his or her heart. You see, sometimes we're more concerned about sharing information than sharing love, but that's what evangelism is. It's sharing love. And we need to make sure we're sharing love, because if it's just information, it's not going to reach their heart. Evangelism is a process. The Apostle Paul taught the Corinthian church that in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6, Paul says, I planted, Apollos watered, but it was God who gave the increase. Sharing the gospel is a process of planting. And even sometimes it's breaking up hard ground that has been hardened from what people have seen, maybe hypocrisy, or they've been hurt by the church. And so in some cases, you're breaking up hard ground before you can even plant. And then you plant, and then you water, and you water some more. But it is God who gives the increase. And we need to see that just because someone doesn't receive Christ on the very first time, just because someone turns us down on an invitation to come to church, that doesn't mean we stop trying to influence our radius with the love of Jesus. It is a process, not an event. What I think is so neat is that I believe God gives the reward not just to the harvester, but to the one who was watered and the one who was planted. Because if there was no planting and watering, there would never be a harvest. How many of you are farmers or gardeners and you have planted and you've watered and then you've experienced a harvest? So many times we get to do that in our farming, in our gardening, but when we're evangelizing, so many times we're planting seeds and we're watering the seeds and we never see what happens to them. We get discouraged. But realize, when you plant, If you are one of those five significant encounters that someone has and they come to Christ, then that fruit is attributed to your gospel account in heaven. It is a process, and we need to be people that are excited about the process, not just the result. And that's the problem with America. We're a microwave society. We want results now, and if we don't have results now, then we just chuck it out. But evangelism is a process, and so to extend your radius, gets outside of your comfort zone and just begin to share, just begin to love, just begin to serve, just begin to pray. I want to share with you this morning some practical ways for us to get out of our comfort zone, okay? The first one, and we've got these in your notes, so because I really wanted you to have them, but the first way is to learn and practice sharing the gospel, all right? Now, this is our family Sunday, so the kids are with us today. I want to welcome our kids from Kids Church down here. I need five volunteers, five kids in Kids Church. Give me five. Do I see five hands? Five kids want to help me. Are they asleep? Okay. Aniela and the little girl next to you, two girls, come up. Anyone else? Over here. All right, Luke, come on up. I need two more. Who? Give me one. Okay, you two right there, Donovan and Riley. Come on down. You're the next contestants, okay? All right. Go ahead and form a line here. Form a line. You're going to help me a little bit. In your notes this morning, you guys can kind of cheat, because I know you adults, you're tired from the week. So I'm giving them five pictures. By the way, these five pictures in your notes and the sayings with them, they come from the Alive in Five gospel track that Kent Hulbert, the missionary who was here last week, who developed. All right? And so this is something I want you to, if you can memorize these five images, you can share the gospel. So, all right. Kids, what am I holding up here?
A heart.
I want the online audience to see that. So this is a heart. What do you think of when you think of a heart?
Love,
okay? And when you think of the Bible and you think about love, what comes to mind? God. That is, man, give him a hand, all right? So God loves. Can you think of a scripture verse that talks about God and love together? Can you think of anything? Donovan. That is right. He nailed it. John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he gave his one and only son. We also have in John, it says, God is love. So that's the very first point of the gospel. How many of you think you can remember that God loves? Pretty easy, right? Okay. Here's the next question. Here's the next image, all right? So, kids, what do you notice about this picture?
A two-way sign.
Okay, so there's two arrows. Are the arrows going together or not? What do you think? They're splitting away, okay? So that means sin divides, all right? Sin divides us. I'm going to give this to Anna Ella. Sin divides us. When you and I sin, it divides us. It separates us from God. And I believe that the lady at the well, that's what she experienced, because we're going to see in a moment how she was religious. She believed God. She worshiped God. But she was missing something, because two things. She had religion. She didn't have relationship. She didn't have the love of God. It wasn't about loving and knowing God. It was just about going to church, doing the right things. It was a religion, and she was still trapped in her sin. Her sin separated her from God, so she knew she was missing something. Okay, we're going to take a look at the next thing here. All right. What do you think of? Okay, I'll show the audience this one. This is a what? A cross. What do you think of when you think of a cross? Christ? Jesus? And what did Jesus do? Died where? In the electric chair. No. No, they got it. Jesus died on the cross. I'll let you hold that there, Riley. So Jesus died. He died for our sin. Even though sin divides us and separates us from God, Jesus took our death penalty and he died for us. He experienced our punishment so that we don't have to suffer and die and go to hell. Jesus died. So we have, everyone say it, God loves, sin divides, Jesus died, all right? our next picture here. What is this? We've got a question mark. And what do you think of a question mark? What comes to mind? A question. And here's the question. You're going to have to decide, who are you going to follow? Are you going to accept what Jesus has done for you on the cross? Are you going to accept his forgiveness and his leadership? Because that's what it means when you become a Christian. You're receiving his forgiveness, but then you're turning from your sin and you're saying, I'm going to follow Jesus instead of following my own way and going the way I want to go. I'm going to go the way Jesus wants to go. And so he's going to be my leader and my forgiver, and you make the decision. So we have the first step of sharing the gospel is God loves, sin divides, Jesus died, you decide. Hey, you kind of hear that rhythm going there? Sin divides, Jesus died, you decide. We're making this easy for you, okay? So you can remember this. All right, here's the last point. This one might be a little interesting. Everybody, here's your last one. All right, what is this?
Fire,
okay. What do you think of when you think of fire when it comes to the Bible? In the Bible, in fire, okay. Sometimes there's anger, yeah. God sent fire down at times and judged. What else? Pillar of fire by day, okay. Let's think New Testament. Anything fire in the New Testament? The devil? Yeah, the hell, the devil. This is a little bit tricky, but on the day of Pentecost, when the church was baptized in the Spirit, what happened to them? Tongues of fire came on them as a group, and then it went to each and every one of them. So the fire symbolizes that the Holy Spirit helps. And when we realize that God loves us, that sin divides us, and we need God's forgiveness and leadership, and that Jesus died on the cross, and we make the decision to receive Christ and make him our leader and our forgiver, then the Holy Spirit comes and lives inside of us, and he helps us live a life for God. So these five pictures can help you share the gospel with someone. How many of you think you can take this home, you can take your notes home, and you can memorize how to share the gospel, huh? And here's the thing, you say, well, I don't know what to say. Get in front of a mirror and practice, all right? When I was in speech in school, that was one of the things that our teacher had us do. Get your speech, then stand in front of a mirror and practice it. If you don't practice, you're going to have a hard time. But if you practice it, and you say, but it's so uncomfortable. Well, what's the first step in extending our influence? Get out of your comfort zone. Very few Christians share the gospel with others because they don't feel they know the message of what Jesus has done for them, and so they never share. How will the world hear if we don't share with them? So I challenge you, if this is an area of struggle, you say, I really don't know how to present the gospel, take your notes home, download them from the YouVersion Bible app, and begin to learn and practice the gospel. All right, can you give them a hand? All right, give them a hand, and you guys can keep that, all right? That's your prize for helping. Go back to your parents. Great job, gang. All right, so that is the first step to getting out of our comfort zone. The next step is inviting people. Invite people to church. Invite people to our service. I know that can be scary, but what do you have to lose? That was the first step to my family becoming Christians, is that our neighbor lady Barb invited my mom to go to church with her. That got the ball rolling. Going to church is one of the best ways, inviting someone to church, that you can extend your radius. If you don't invite anyone, they don't have the opportunity. When people come to church, they're going to hear how to hear the gospel. I give a time for people to respond. They'll hear a message like what you just saw today, maybe not the same way every time, but we give people an opportunity to receive Jesus and become a follower of Christ. So you want to invite people. Students, you can invite them, kids in kids' church, invite them to kids' church to come on Sunday morning. Teenagers, invite them to youth. Invite them to youth activities. They just had a movie night, and Pastor Zach talked about feasting. They made deep-fried Oreos. They know how to feast. It was good. My daughter brought me home one. It was great, all right? But invite them to special events. Ladies, you have a ladies' refresh coming up on March 5th. Invite someone who doesn't know Christ to that event. It's going to be a lot of fun, but there's also going to be a spiritual emphasis. You and I can invite people to the different events and church services that we have. Now, I realize some people might say, well, I don't want to darken the door of a church, so you can go one other step, invite them to watch us online. Every Sunday, they can go live on our YouTube channel at Radius Church, and they can find us there, and they can watch our service online, or they can watch throughout the week. And here's the great thing about it. They can experience a service and see what it's like and realize that we're not weirdos, that we're not angry, that, you know, that we are just nice, regular people who like to laugh. We have fun, don't we? And a merry heart is good medicine. But they can become familiar with the service. And studies say that before someone will physically attend a church for the first time, they watch online seven times. It takes seven online visits before they take one first physical visit. So invite people to watch us online. That's a way that you can get out of your comfort zone, is by inviting people. Another way that we can get out of our comfort zones is praying for someone who is sick. When someone is sick at work or at school and then you hear about it, ask them if you can pray for them. Now, don't go up to them and say, in the name of Jesus, heal them! You know, okay. You'll scare them. Don't do that. You can quietly pray for them or say, I'm going to go home. I'll be praying for you that God heals you. But pray for people. That is why I'm a Christian today. Because I was sick with allergies. We shared this a few weeks ago in our Radius series, how the allergy doctor said there was nothing they could do that I could be healed. I would have to learn to live with it. And our neighbor, Lady Barb, who invited Mom to church, and Mom had been going several times, they prayed and I was healed. And God touched me. So you can pray for people who are sick, who are injured, and that is a way to get out of your comfort zone. Another way to get out of your comfort zone, and this is a little bit different, but it's by giving to missions. You see, Jesus not only wants us to be witnesses in our Jerusalem and Judea, but to the uttermost part of the world, and we do that by giving to missions. You may have noticed when you walked in, our new missions board on the back has all of our missionaries. Pastor Daniel spearheaded putting that up. Didn't he do a great job? Give him a hand. The first Sunday of every month, we receive a special offering for missions. That supports all the 20-some missionaries that we have every month. We support them so they can minister the gospel and share the love of God around the world. If you haven't made a faith promise, you can just give and mark it missions. It's going to be next week. But giving to missions is a way to get out of our comfort zone and extend our radius to see people come to know Christ. And then there is one last one I want to share about this morning. And this is something for us as a church, and it's planting churches in rural communities here in Wyoming. I'm really excited about this. This is a vision that we've had for years, and the timing hasn't been right, but this last year in 2020, when COVID hit, we took the first step to seeing that come to fruition, and that's getting our video equipment and our cameras and everything that's needed to do an online service, to do a live stream, and so that's the first step, and so I don't know when it's going to be. It's something I'm praying about. I want you to pray about it. God, when do you want us to extend our radius outside of Casper to go to Shoshone or Midwest or Elkova or wherever God might lead? But that's something as a congregation, we want everyone in the state of Wyoming to know that Jesus loves them, He died for them, and the Holy Spirit can help them live for God and give them a home in heaven forever. So those are some ways that we can extend. And I realize when we begin to plant churches, that is going to be getting out of our comfort zone. We've never done that before. I mean, just the thought of it kind of gives me a little angst thinking about it. What about all the details, all the technology, all the things that are going on? But here's the thing, if we just stay comfortable, those around us who don't know Jesus will be uncomfortable for eternity because they'll spend eternity in hell. We need to get out of our comfort zone. That's how we extend our radius. Okay, let's hit the last 2 points very quickly, all right? Some of you are thinking, we're going to be here till 3 o'clock. No, the first point was the longest, all right? Let's take a look at the second thing you and I need to do if we're going to extend our radius and influence people for Jesus. Number two, be hungry for people to get saved. Be hungry for people to get saved. We looked at verse 4 when it said Jesus needed to go through Samaria. He and his disciples, they came to a well that was near the city of Sychar, and the disciples went into town to buy some food. Jesus stays at the well, and while he was there, a woman comes to the well, and when the disciples return with the food, Jesus doesn't want to eat. And this is their conversation in verse 32. Jesus said, "I have food to eat that you know nothing about." Then his disciples said to each other, "Could someone have brought him food?" Verse 34, "My food," said Jesus, "is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." God's will and God's work is to see people saved from their sin and come to know Jesus and have eternal life with him. That's God's will. That's God's work. And Jesus said, that purpose of seeing people saved is my food. It sustains me. How many of you make sure you get 3 meals a day? Okay, be honest. I mean, that's about maybe 15% of the congregation. Who eats 3 meals a day? Most of us, okay? How many? Maybe only eat 2 meals, but how many say, I have kind of a set time, a number of meals I'm going to eat every day? Raise your hand. That's pretty much all of us. We know that we are going to eat. It's a priority. As we were doing the 21 days of prayer and fasting, some of you maybe were fasting sweets. And maybe you're saying, I can't wait till this is done, like Pastor Zach and his cookies, so that I can have my sweets. Or maybe you were fasting Facebook or television or something like that, and you were hungering for that food you couldn't have. Some fasted lunches, some fasted meat, some fasted so many different things, but you couldn't wait till the fast was done so you could eat that again. You were hungry for that. Friends, we need to hunger for people who don't know Jesus to come to know Jesus. Just as we prioritize, I'm going to get some lunch, I'm going to have breakfast, I'm going to have dinner, it needs to be a priority that impacts us daily. It's not a once a year or every 6 month dental visit that I have to do it, but it is a priority. I am hungry for people to come to know Christ. How hungry are we for people around us to know Jesus, to know that he loves them, he died for their sin, and he wants to forgive them, he wants to give them a relationship, and they can live with God forever? It needs to be a passion for us. How do we gain a hunger? In your notes, I believe there's 2 keys to gaining a hunger. It's to reflect and request. We need to reflect, and we need to request. On the reflection part, we need to reflect, what was my life like before I met Jesus? What was my life like? For me, I remember my life was aimless. My life was empty. Even though we went to church, God seemed distant, a million miles away, and I knew something was missing. I just didn't know what. When we remember what our lives were like, maybe if we were in bondage to sin with some kind of addiction or destructive behavior, we see that our marriage was a wreck, our family was a wreck, and how the gospel turned things around. Remember what your life was like before you were a follower of Christ. Reflect on that. Another thing to reflect on is, how did the cross change my life? When I came to Christ, how did my life change? And then reflect on, where would I be today if no one came to me, if I never heard about the gospel? Where would I be today? Reflect on where you are now, the change that has taken place, and where would you be if that did not happen? You can also reflect on what hell is like. And there is a book out. It's called 23 Minutes in Hell. It's the story of a man who died. He went to hell. He had this vision of hell. And it's a powerful, riveting book. You might not be able to go to sleep for a little bit. It's going to disturb you when you realize how horrible and how awful hell is. But friends, that is what is going to happen to people that don't have Christ as their forgiver and their leader. So reflect on those things and then request. What do you request? First of all, ask God to forgive you if sharing the gospel, if being salt and light, if witnessing hasn't been a priority. If you haven't hungered for it, if you're not looking for opportunities daily, ask God to forgive you for not fulfilling the identity He created you to be salt and light, to be His witness. And then request God to give you that hunger, to make it a priority, to make it something that's very important. Ask God to change your priorities around, that you begin to see people the way He sees them, that you love people the way He loves them. Request that and pray for that in your life. As we reflect and re-request, that is how we gain a hunger to see people come to know Jesus. The last point this morning for us extending our radius, number three, is we need to get to know people personally, and we do that by discovery. We need to discover their needs, their hurts, and their objections. We need to discover their hurts, their needs, and their objections. In John chapter 4, verse 6, it says, Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. In Bible times, it was the customary job of women to go and get water from the well and to bring water to the house. They didn't have running water back in those days. So that was the job of the ladies. And ladies would go early in the morning when it was cool. You don't want it, because the water pots they carried were about maybe 5 to 10 pounds. They were these huge water pots, and they would carry them, and they don't want to carry them in the heat of the day. We realize that Jesus is at the well at what time? Noon. It's hot. Also, at noontime, everyone's at home having lunch. So here's a lady who's coming to the well when it's hot, at a time when most people are going to be busy and not going to be at the well. That tells us she wanted to come there by herself with no one noticing, no one to talk to her, no one to interact with. And the question is, why? Why does she not want to be around anyone? Why does she come at a time of day when probably no one is going to be there? It's because people maybe looked down on her. There was something in her past, something about her that was off. They didn't like her, and they would criticize her. They would make fun of her. She was rejected. She was an outcast. And so when this woman comes to the well at noon, Jesus realizes something's up with her. He identifies that there is a brokenness in her, that there is something going on. She doesn't have friends. She doesn't want to be around people. She doesn't want to be connected with people. And so Jesus begins to engage in a conversation, because this is what He needs to do. He needs her to realize that the brokenness, the lostness, the emptiness she has is being caused by her sin in her life. If she doesn't take ownership of her condition, if she doesn't realize the state she's in, she's not going to see a need for change. So He realizes that she needs to realize that my life is miserable, my life is missing something, so that she will have a desire to change. So Jesus is discovering needs. He's being observant. He's discovering hurts. And so in verse 10, Jesus answers her. He says, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked Him and He would have given you living water. Everyone who drinks this water from the well will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. The woman said to him, Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water. Jesus knew this lady had some emotional needs, and he needed her to unpack those. He took time. And if we're going to make an impact in people's lives, we need to get to know them and to know what they're dealing with, what they're struggling with, where they're hurting. Also, maybe some of their objections. Many people have objections to the gospel, have objections to Christianity. This lady had an objection. As you read the story, she says, well, our father Jacob of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he dug this well. And the Samaritans, we worship God here. You Jews, you say you should worship in Jerusalem. Where are we supposed to worship? Here in Samaria or Jerusalem? She had some objections. She felt like her people told her, this is where you worship, but she knew she was missing something. She knew she was empty. She was thirsty. Something's not right. And Jesus says, you know what? Worship is not about a location, Jerusalem or here. You need to worship God in spirit and in truth. The well is within you. You need a relationship with God. That's what will satisfy the longing. And then Jesus confronts her with her sin because she had been married 5 times and she was living with a guy who wasn't her husband now. That's why she didn't come to the well when the other ladies came. Because people condemned her and they saw her as being an outcast. Jesus took the time. He just didn't load up his gospel shotgun. You're a sinner, get saved, bam! He discovered her needs, her hurts, her objections, and he talked to her about her need for a God who loved her. And friends, we need to take time to get to know people. It's not a one-time event, evangelism is. It's a process. How do you do that? How do you learn about people? You discover about their needs or hurts or objections? 2 things, and they're there in your notes. You need to ask questions, and you need to listen. Ask questions and listen. Develop a relationship with people. And as you and I begin to take these 3 steps in our life. Step number 1 is what? Get out of our comfort zone. Step number 2 is to have a hunger for lost people to come to know Jesus. And step number 3, take the time to know people personally. Develop a relationship. Discover their needs, their hurts, their objections. You and I can extend our radius and people can come to know Jesus. This morning, what is God saying to you about your radius? Which of these things is God saying you need to focus on in your life so that you can better reach people with my love? Let's pray together this morning. Father God, you love the world so much that you sent Jesus. We thank you for his sacrifice that opened up heaven, that opened us up to your love. Father, expand our radius to reach more, to reach farther, to reach better than we ever have before. How many of you this morning would say, Craig, I need to extend my radius. I need a greater influence for Christ. I just want you to lift your hand this morning. Some of you would say, I need to begin to learn the gospel. I really don't know the gospel. I can't share it. Or I need to be bolder about praying for people who are sick or inviting people. Or maybe I need to ask questions and build relationships and get to know them more. But if God's speaking to you, I just want you to lift your hand if you say, I need to extend my radius. I need God to help me to share his love. Just lift your hand up and then you can put it back down. That's awesome. Thank you. You can lower your hands. There may be some of you today you're here or you're watching online, and you're like that woman at the well, and you know you're missing something. You feel an emptiness. You're thirsty. Maybe you've even gone to church. You know about God, but despite that, there is still a nagging emptiness inside. And you would say, I need God's love. I need a relationship with God. How do you get that? You need to recognize, first of all, that your sin divides you from God. And that's why God sent His Son Jesus to die on the cross for your sin. And because Christ did that, if we receive His forgiveness and His leadership, we can be forgiven and have a relationship with God. But it's your choice. You decide this morning if you're going to accept His love and forgiveness and leadership or if you're going to reject it. So if you're here and you'd say, Craig, I need to receive God's love. I'm making that decision. I need God to forgive me. I need to turn from my sin. I need Jesus to be my leader, the one in charge of my life. I'd like you to raise your hand. Just put your hand up. If you're watching at home, just slip your hand up in recognition of God and say, God, I need forgiveness. I need to give my life to you. Just all around this room, just put your hand up high. Thank you. I see those hands in the back. Anyone else this morning, you'd respond. I'd say, I need a relationship with God. I want to become a follower of Jesus. Anyone else today? Thank you. I see that hand there in the middle. Anyone else this morning? Thank you. I see the hand there on the side. Anyone else today? I'm going to say a prayer, and I'd like all of us to say this prayer together. I don't want anyone praying alone, okay? Let's pray together today. Father God, I have sinned, and my sin has divided me. I'm away from you. It's left me empty. I am lost. Forgive me for what I've done wrong. I turn from my sin. Take me back, Jesus. Give me new life. Satisfy me. I will follow you. I receive your love. I receive your forgiveness. And I receive your leadership. Thank you for saving me from sin and from hell. Holy Spirit, help me to live for God. Amen.
We hope that you've enjoyed today's message, and thanks again for joining us on the Casper Faith Podcast.